Peter had to be shown plainly that the saving message of Jesus Christ was for everyone. The gospel was not to be kept to the Jewish people, but would go all around the world.
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource. You can enhance your understanding of the Gospels by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide of the Gospels, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
Well, our journey today takes us through chapters 10 of the Acts of the Apostles, where we will see God's salvation was not only for the Jews, but for everyone and anyone who would choose to believe and receive Jesus Christ into their hearts and lives. This was a lesson the early Jewish believers had to learn in order to take the message of Christ's salvation outside their own areas to the wider world. Well, today our teacher, John Matthews, will talk about a lunch that's hard to swallow.
Esther, thank you so much. So good to be with you and to you all listening wherever you are today. Thank you for joining us for Mission 66. Now, if you've been with us and listening recently, you'll have heard that up to now, the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus, has begun in Jerusalem, but it is spreading fast, accompanied by signs and wonders being accepted by people all over Judea and then in neighboring Samaria. And we've seen how God uses Philip the evangelist to win the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. And last time, we heard about the call of Saul of Tarsus to become the apostle to the Gentiles. But before we get into chapter 10, let's look briefly at what happened at the end of the previous chapter, focusing on the ministry of Peter, the apostle to the Jewish people. So Peter had visited the disciples in the city of Lydda, and there he heals Aeneas, a paralyzed man who'd been in bed for 8 years. And it says that many people in Lydda and Sharon, both located in northern Palestine, converted to Christ. In Joppa, it's a region that was pretty close by, there was a disciple then called Tabitha, or Dorcas in the Greek. Now, she was dedicated to God and was well known, even famous, you could say, for her charity work in the region. Well, she had died, much to the sorrow of those who knew her. You can imagine this figure, vibrant figure, figure who gave much of her life to others and served others. So what a loss in this community. She's died, and it just so happens that Peter is in the area. And so what do they do? Well, they call him in, and Peter goes in and prays alone in the room where Dorcas' body is laying. And as he prays, he orders the woman to arise. And she did. She gets up from the dead. And can you imagine the reaction of everybody there? To say they were amazed would be an understatement. So God is powerfully at work here as well. And it says that Peter decided then to stay for a while in the house of Simon, who worked as a leather tanner. That was in Joppa. And that's where we pick up the account now in chapter 10, starting with verse 1, which says, "At Caesarea there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort or regiment, a devout man who feared God with all his household." Now, this means that they hadn't converted to Judaism, but they did honour the Old Testament and they believed in the God of Israel. And he, Cornelius, gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed, it says, continually to God. Now about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. He stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, the angel, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but whilst they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens opened, and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. And this happened three times, and then this thing was taken up at once to heaven. You see, that's what we're calling lunch here. This is the lunch that Peter's going to have a little trouble swallowing. But why? We're going to see. Now, whilst Peter was inwardly perplexed, confused as to what the vision that he had seen meant, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And whilst Peter was pondering the vision that he'd just seen, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them to be his guest. Now remember, this would have been a big thing for Peter. It would have been forbidden, actually, for Peter, a Jew, to enter the house of a Gentile. But the next day, nonetheless, he rose and went with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I too am a man. Peter wasn't here being impolite. He's merely saying that men ought not to be worshipped at all. God alone is the one that we should bow to. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many people gathered there. And he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God, there are those two words again, But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me. That was the reason for the vision. You see, the lunch that would be hard to swallow. Just imagine for a Jew being invited to eat all these strange animals that were considered ceremonially unclean according to the law of Moses. You know, Peter would never even have dared put those sort of things into his mouth. But the vision said, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And three times that happened. Why three times? Well, Peter had to be shown plainly that the saving message of Jesus Christ is for everybody. The gospel wasn't meant to be kept to the Jewish people alone, but it was set to go all around the world. First to Jerusalem and Judea, then to the Samaritans, and now it was going to the Gentiles, as we saw back in Acts chapter 8, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To verse 30, and Cornelius says, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa, and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opens his mouth, and he said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good to Jesus and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. But they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And whilst Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard his words. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain for some days. So what a big step of faith this was for Peter. But in obedience to that heavenly vision, to that strange vision, really, about a lunch that's difficult to swallow, Peter goes, just goes with some believers, people he'd never met, and brings the gospel to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius' whole family, even some of his close friends there, are considered then to be the first Gentile converts in God's advancing kingdom.
This is Mission 66, and we're with our Bible teacher, John Matthews, and of course, I'm your host, Esther. So, I think right now is as good a time as any to move on to some questions about Acts chapter 10. And John, I think a good place to start will be with the centurion Cornelius. So, we read that he was a God-fearing man, but what exactly does that mean in this context? If he wasn't a Jew, what was he then?
Well, Esther, when we think of someone as being God-fearing, I suppose we must ask, which God? There are many gods that mankind worships in the world, so we must conclude that Cornelius had particular special regard for the God of Israel. In the text, the use of the term God-fearing refers to a Gentile who was almost a Jew, and by that we mean that they believed in this God, but they didn't want to go through all the rituals that were required. Some people even went so far as to get circumcised and became Jews officially, even though they may not have been born into the bloodline. And these people were known as proselytes. Cornelius was Italian. He was a Gentile. But he followed these religious practices associated with Judaism, and so was known as a God-fearing man, but still needed to hear this gospel and respond personally to it.
So he didn't necessarily have to become a Jew or an official Jew, I guess, in order to be then converted to Christ.
No, that's right. And this was, you know, part of that lunch that was so hard to swallow for the Jews, you know, because as it came about, Gentiles were allowed to skip past that particular operation called circumcision. And that was difficult for the Jews to accept in those days, you can imagine, because circumcision was one of the key signs of the Abrahamic covenant. And the feeling was, you can imagine, can't you, if I had to do it, then everyone who wants to be a Jew should also have to do it. But the conversion of Cornelius helps resolve the question whether a Gentile had to first become a Jew before believing in Jesus, the Messiah.
Oh, wow, fascinating. Well, you know, the gospel does say that God doesn't save anyone simply based on their good deeds. But here, the angel told Cornelius, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. I mean, wouldn't that then be classified as deeds?
Yeah, well, Esther, it is true. You're right. God does not save anyone because of their good deeds. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But when God sees Cornelius's deeds, he knows that it reflects a seeking heart. And that's the thing, that God sees the state of the heart of every giver, of every person. And if God sees a heart that is truly seeking him from whatever tribe or tongue, he will move heaven and earth to get him the right information on how to be saved. And so here he watches Cornelius, this Roman centurion, and hears his prayers. The authenticity, the honesty of the words coming out of his spirit. And so he gives Peter then a vision to prepare him to be able to receive this inquiring soldier who is seeking truth, ultimate truth, the only truth. For salvation, Cornelius would have to hear the gospel from a believer like Peter. And so God arranges them to meet and hear what he needs to know in order to believe and then, of course, receive the Lord and the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a great question, because if deeds were enough, if it were possible to be saved by some other means than by believing on Christ, then it certainly wouldn't have been necessary to have Cornelius meet Peter to hear the message.
You know, interestingly, you mentioned that vision, which, I mean, to me, in my opinion, was quite complicated. But why do you think that God needed to reveal the vision to Peter in order to convince him to go see Cornelius? I mean, couldn't he have just told Peter, I'm sending you to a centurion's house, go and preach to him?
Yeah, I know what you mean when you say complicated. I mean, it's quite encouraging, isn't it, that Peter, or the verse itself says Peter himself was perplexed, confused, thinking, what on earth does this mean? Well, look, considering Peter, to answer the question, considering that Peter was a devout Jew, considering who Cornelius was, he was not only a Gentile Cornelius, you know, he would have been considered unclean by the Jews, but he was also a Roman soldier, and the Romans were the occupying force, and Jews were not supposed to even go into a Gentile home, much less the home of a Roman soldier who would have been considered the enemy. So this puts a very different perspective on this story, doesn't it? So after Peter has seen this vision of all those unclean animals that he was not supposed to call common or unclean anymore, that's what the Lord says to him through this vision. He's now ready to enter Cornelius's house and explain the gospel to those gathered there, something that would have been unthinkable to him before. And you see, it says that Peter is already staying in the house of another man called Simon, who is a leather tanner. If he tans leather, that means he touches the skin of a dead animal, which was considered by the Jews, again, to be unclean. So Peter is already realizing that things are changing. Things are getting different as they were leaving the age of law and entering the age of grace.
And what a wonderful realization that is. Wow. Okay, well, let's quickly take a look at the end of chapter 10 here at verse 44. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on them. And then again in verse 46, they spoke in tongues. So is it always the case that the Holy Spirit produces the manifestation of tongues?
Yeah, I thought you'd ask that, because in Acts, it does seem, doesn't it, like every time someone converts, they get the Holy Spirit coming down and then speaking in tongues follows, like Pentecost all over again. But let's take a little step back, because we can see a pattern. We have the first arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost with the Jewish believers. That's in Acts chapter 2. Then you have the Samaritan Pentecost, Acts chapter 8. Now we have what we could call the Pentecost of the Gentiles in chapter 10. Now, the reason why God brings forward these Pentecost-type experiences in each separate group was to reveal to the Jews that God has truly accepted these Gentile people into his kingdom. And one evidence of the Holy Spirit coming to each of them was the gift of tongues. And it was one of those ones that was very evident and obvious to those who were there. So we know from other New Testament scriptures that tongues does not always accompany conversion, but that each believer receives the Spirit and each believer receives at least one of the gifts of the Spirit. So each has one of the gifts, but not necessarily tongues. But of course, we know there are other gifts which benefit society and the church. So the important thing to remember in all of this is that God's new covenant is now for everybody without exception. And Gentiles, and if you think, well, what does Gentiles mean? The context here could mean all those who are not Jews, who believe on Christ, are equally included in the church. There is equal standing with Jewish believers.
Hey, John, an interesting question. Do you think that Cornelius was the centurion who was present at Christ's crucifixion?
Isaac, that is an interesting question. And you know, he may well have been, but the Bible doesn't say. But you're right, there was this unnamed centurion at the crucifixion, and it was he who remarked, "Surely this was the Son of God," but we don't know his name. And the soldier who thrusts the spear into Jesus' side was, according to tradition, a blind centurion called Longinus. There was another centurion mentioned earlier in the gospel, the one whose servant was healed by Jesus, but that was a different guy. But it's evident, however, that the death and resurrection of Jesus is now making a huge impression upon the occupying Roman force. And soon after, many of these soldiers turn to Christ. They become Christians.
And what's so exciting, John, is that we're going to continue to see how the resurrection of Christ continues to impact the lives of so many in the book of Acts. But we'll get to that. Right now, I think let's wrap up Acts chapter 10.
Yeah, let's do that. And our theme was a lunch that is hard to swallow. The Apostle Peter needed to know that the gospel was not only for his people, the Jews, as he'd been brought up to believe, but for the rest of the world as well. So in obedience to this heavenly vision, Peter responds to an inquiry by a Roman centurion, and as a result, the gospel is preached for the first time to a Gentile family, and the whole bunch of them are saved, which was proven by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit among them. So God began saving the Jews, then the Samaritans, and now the gospel is reaching out and bringing salvation around the globe. You know, the great wonder of the gospel, of the message of Jesus, is that it produces a Holy Spirit power and unity even in the midst of diversity. So the God of the Bible accepts everybody who comes to him, no matter which race or nationality. That is magnificent news, and it means me, and it means for you listening to Mission 66 today.
Well, my dear friends, that is it for today's episode. Hey, but we still have a lot of ground to cover in the book of Acts, so we invite you to join us next time on Mission 66. And until then, goodbye and God bless you.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. I'm Rob Dempsey.